The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko
and Rosemary Gazy.
In the headlines, President Obama says Ebola pandemic is spiraling out of control and announces U.S. intervention. Government dismisses minority claims that IMF bailout will lead to job cuts and increases in utility bills as government IMF talks begin today. TUC to resist economic policy that will worsen the plight of workers. Ghana Conformity Assessment Program, GCAP, suspended indefinitely following protests by importers and exporters. And lead sponsor of Black Stars, GNPC, expresses surprise about double bonus payment to players. First, the summary with Rosemary Gazy.
U.S. President Barack Obama has noted with concern the fast spread of the deadly Ebola disease in West Africa, whose control he says is getting out of hand. He has therefore announced a support package to arrest the situation. This will include sending 3,000 troops to Liberia to oversee the building of new treatment centers and help train medical staff. Government has dismissed claims by the minority in parliament that the IMF bailout will lead to job cuts and rise in utility tariffs. According to Deputy Minister of Trade Rickett Kwiku-Hagan, the bailout would rather return credibility to the economy. He was reacting to minority concerns on our current affairs program behind the news. Meanwhile, the Trades Union Congress has threatened to resist any IMF policy likely to deepen the plight of the Ghanaian worker. The TUC's General Secretary Kofi Asamoah told behind the news his outfit will reject any policy that will suggest labor cuts and rather urges government to be apt in its negotiations with the IMF. And lead sponsor of the Black Stars, the Ghana National Petroleum Corporation, has expressed shock at the double payment of bonus to the players at the sitting of the Commission of Inquiry into Ghana's participation in the Brazil World Cup. The CEO of the GNPC, Alex Mould, said his outfit has confidence in the GFA's terms of the contract with the players. It is therefore surprising to know that the Ministry of Youth and Sports also made similar payments as bonuses to the Football Authority.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail. U.S. President Barack Obama has announced new support measures to help combat the outbreak of the deadly Ebola virus in West Africa. He said the spread of the disease is spiraling out of control and poses a potential threat to global security. Mr. Obama confirmed plans to send U.S. troops to the region and new teaching and treatment units to Liberia. The announcement was made after Mr. Obama met officials at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. We bring you an excerpt of Mr. Obama's speech.
Faced with this outbreak, the world is looking to us, the United States, and it's a responsibility that we embrace. We're prepared to take leadership on this, to provide the kinds of capabilities that only America has, and to mobilize the world in ways that only America can do. That's what we're doing as we speak. We've been taking the necessary precautions, including working with countries in West Africa to increase screening at airports so that someone with the virus doesn't get on a plane for the United States. In the unlikely event that someone with Ebola does reach our shores, we've taken new measures so that we're prepared here at home. An already very weak public health system is near collapse in these countries. Patients are being turned away, and people are literally dying in the streets. But here's the hard truth. In West Africa, Ebola is now an epidemic of the likes that we have not seen before. It's spiraling out of control. It is getting worse. It's spreading faster and exponentially. Today, thousands of people in West Africa are infected. That number could rapidly grow to tens of thousands. And if the outbreak is not stopped now, we could be looking at hundreds of thousands of people infected with profound political and economic and security implications for all of us. And we've devoted significant resources in support of our strategy with four goals in mind. Number one, to control the outbreak, to address the ripple effects of local economies and communities to prevent a truly massive humanitarian disaster, to coordinate a broader global response, to urgently build up a public health system in these countries for the future.
President Barack Obama.
And President John Mahama says environmental cleanliness is not government's responsibility alone, but the individual as well. To him, primary health care starts with everyone. Inaugurating the refurbished Iran clinic in Accra, President Mahama called for action by all to curb preventable diseases like cholera, which is needlessly claiming lives. Even though the name still remains Iran Clinic, the refurbished facility has new equipment and services that befit a hospital status. Pascaline Adadeva reports.
The Iranian government, through its Red Crescent Society, has established clinics in about 12 countries in Africa. The Iran Clinic has operated for 25 years in Ghana, and its core mandate is to offer humanitarian services to the poor and the vulnerable. The proximity of the clinic to non-deprived areas like Nima, Mamoudi, Adabaka, and Newtown goes to give meaning to its core mandate. Speaking on healthcare, President Mahama, who recently led a massive cleanup exercise in the metropolis, stated that primary healthcare begins with everyone. He said it is unacceptable that in the 21st century, huge numbers of people should die from preventable diseases like cholera.
It is not government responsibility alone to keep our surroundings clean. The primary responsibility for keeping our surroundings clean is our own responsibility. Government's responsibility and the responsibility of the district assemblies and the regional coordinating council is to move that garbage after you have deposited it at the right place. But unfortunately, we're not doing that. We drink sachet water, and instead of putting it in a bin, we throw it into the gutters. Sanitation facilities are provided. People won't use them, and some people prefer to go and do their business outside, sometimes on the beach, on the shoreline, and they say it's more pleasant because you have coil passing under you somewhere. I mean, it's totally unacceptable.
Having visited three Ebola-hit African countries, chair of ECOWAS, President Mahama said it was a pathetic scene as the countries Liberia, Sierra Leone and Guinea have been left in isolation. He said even though Ghana has been blessed not to have recorded any incident of Ebola yet, everyone has to be vigilant. President Mahama also called for solidarity with the Ebola-hit countries.
It was a very strange feeling when we got to Liberia and Sierra Leone. You don't shake hands. And shaking hands is such a natural thing to everybody, you know, that I got out of the plane and I met the president of Sierra Leone. And instinctively, my hand was moving. And then I saw he bowed at me. We have all suddenly become Japanese. We thank the Almighty Allah that he's given us the grace that Ebola has not come into this country. They virtually been ostracized. All the airlines have stopped flying there. Now that we understand the disease better, it is possible for us to take the measures that prevent it from spreading. And all of them are doing a great job in trying to contain the disease and stop it from spreading. And all they need is our solidarity and our assistance.
The Iranian ambassador to Ghana, Ahmed Suleiman, said the upgrading of the clinic to provide improved health care is a symbol of friendship between Iran and Ghana.
Kalina Dedivo reporting.
President John Mahama will be addressing the 69th UN General Assembly, which is scheduled to take place on the 24th of this month. This was announced when the Minister of Foreign Affairs and Regional Integration, Hannah Tete, briefed the media on the upcoming General Assembly session in New York. This year's General Assembly will focus on the delivery and implementation of a transformative post-2015 development agenda. Rita Nyako and Everlasting Johnson have filed this report.
The UN General Assembly, established in 1945 under the Charter of the United Nations, occupies a control position as the chief policy-making and representative organ of the United Nations. The Assembly provides a unique forum for multilateral discussion of international issues. It is also empowered to make recommendations on state and international issues within its competence. Madame Tete said Ghana's delegation will be led by President Mahama. She outlined some of the activities that will take place at the meeting.
All countries, developing and developed, have a stake in the forthcoming debate, which is intended to build on the achievements of the Millennium Development Goals and further define a successive global development plan, which would hopefully engender a practical and positive transformation in the lives of the majority of the world's people. The post-2015 development agenda is expected to continue the impressive record set with the implementation of the Millennium Development Goals on poverty, hunger, health, gender and education, while addressing additional challenges. The international community has since 2013 been engaged in the review of progress made so far vis-a-vis new processes for a successor development blueprint, which we anticipate will be referred to as the Sustainable Development Goals. In other words, we're moving from the MDGs to the SDGs. The post-2015 development agenda is expected to be centered on the principles of sustainable development and driven by the spirit of the Millennium Declaration, as well as the best lessons of the Millennium Development Goals. This year, the Secretary General will be convening a climate summit, during which member states are expected to share with the international community their respective efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and curb the effects of climate change.
The UN Resident Coordinator, Susan Ngandi, said over the past 2 years, the UN has been fervently discussing the agenda all countries should follow after 2015, which happens to be the last year for achieving the Millennium Development Goals. The 69th session will consider the Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, and this does not mean that the MDGs will be forgotten. She said the UN will institute a transformative development agenda that will build on the MDGs and focus on eradicating poverty and hunger.
A report by Rita Nyako and Everlasting Johnson.
Deputy Minister of Trade Ricket Kwikuhagan has downplayed speculations that the IMF bailout will lead to job cuts and increase in utility tariffs, reacting to minority claims that the IMF bailout will worsen economic challenges. Mr. Hagan said rather the bailout will return the credibility to the economy. He told Behind the News the IMF package is best for Ghana. The deputy minister disclosed that some of the proposals on the discussion table is a wage bill. He said currently government is using 57% of its revenue generated to pay public workers, which has previously been 70%. Mr. Hagan noted that government is working hard to further reduce it to 35%, but not necessarily through job cuts.
Going on the IMF program is good for Ghana. And what we are facing are just short-term challenges. Now, things moved against us. Let me tell you why we had to end up with the IMF. Things moved against us. Obviously, we had some external problems with the cocoa and gold, where prices fell significantly. And as a result of that, we did not realize the revenue. I think we lost about $1.2 billion or so, you know, dollars of revenue. We also had problems with power, you know, disruptions with the West African gas pipeline, which went on for about a year and a half. So basically, when you have these things against you, then it became increasingly difficult for us to be able to see through the homegrown policy. Now, some of the things that we have been able to do under the homegrown policy would have even been difficult under the IMF. So the IMF are aware of, you know, some of the things that we're doing. And it's not going to result into any of these things that my friends on the opposite side are talking about. I think they are just preempting the discussions which are not taking place. They are just basically, you know, causing unnecessary anxiety about things that, you know, may or may not happen.
Can you provide us with details of some of the proposals that are on the negotiating table between Ghana and the IMF?
Our wage bill is one of them. If you remember somewhere last year, we were spending about 70% of our tax revenue in basically paying, you know, public service wages. We have taken measures, and at the moment as we speak, that is around 57%. We are spending 57% of tax revenue in paying wages. What we are saying, or where we want to be, is to be around 30-35%, to be with our peers. And these are the things that we'll be discussing with the IMF, you know, how best to achieve this. It does not necessarily mean that we are going to cut down on the workforce.
Deputy Minister of Trade, Ricket Kwikuhagan.
Meanwhile, the TUC says it will resist any IMF policy that worsens the plight of the Ghanaian worker. It is therefore urging government to put its best foot forward during the negotiations and come out with a good policy. Its Secretary General, Kofi Asamoah, who disclosed this to Behind the News, said as government tables its homegrown policies before the IMF, the TUC will not accept any policy which will suggest they cut down labor. He spoke to Agatha Asamoah.
We stated clearly that we are skeptical about IMF intervention in our economy based on the fact that over the years, IMF prescriptions sincerely have not worked because they tried to give an omnibus kind of prescription to almost every country. If government goes to agree with IMF, what to worsen the plight of workers and worsen the plight of ordinary people or Ghanaians generally, will resist it. We are talking about it from a level that the assurances from government talks about credibility and other things. In the past, we all know IMF always put their conditionality down, but The assurances from government based on our engagement last week with government, and also a petition we sent to government arising out of our demonstration, talks about the fact that we are skeptical, but the assurances are that it's going to be an engagement based on homegrown policy. Our expectation is that government will get into this engagement fully minded by the fact that, yes, we have our homegrown policies, they should table it, negotiate toughly to understand that they won't come out with anything that will worsen the plight of our ordinary workers. Their caution is that government shouldn't get into anything that will worsen the plight of ordinary people.
Secretary General of the TEC, Kofi Asamoah. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. President Obama says Ebola pandemic is spiraling out of control and announces U.S. intervention. Government dismisses minority claims that IMF bailout will lead to job cuts and increases in utility bills as government IMF talks begin today. TUC to resist economic policy that will worsen the plight of workers. Ghana Conformity Assessment Program, GCAP, suspended indefinitely following protests by importers and exporters. And lead sponsor of Black Stars, GNPC, expresses surprise about double bonus payments to players.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. An aviation unit of 55 personnel has been deployed by the Ghana Air Force to aid in UN operations in Mali. The team, which will be under the command of the UN, is expected to provide support in the area of peacekeeping. Though Mali has not recorded any case of Ebola, the Air Force team has been educated on the disease. They were charged to be disciplined in the line of duty. Samuel Bano has the details.
Ghana remains committed to assisting the United Nations to restore peace in conflict areas in Africa. To complement the efforts of the UN, the Ghana Air Force has deployed a 45-member aviation team to the Malian capital, Bamako. The team is to provide technical and tactical support in the area of peacekeeping. An advanced team of 10 left Ghana about a week ago to prepare the grounds for the arrival of the main body. Addressing the Air Force team, Chief of Air Staff, Air Vice Marshal Samson Oji, the team to be good ambassadors of the nation.
All of you are ambassadors. Ghana Armed Forces and the Air Force, each in one. Now, you are going there to play your part. Don't go as heroes. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Take instructions from top to Nanda. You must work as a team. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Any questions?
No,
Air Vice Marshal Samson Oji explained to Radio Ghana the duties of the team and the duration of the mission in Mali.
Our task is more
from here
to protect our nation. And unfortunately, in those departments, particularly on the fixed-wing aircraft, we are placing one Qatar transport aircraft under the UN for whatever purpose we are required. But basically, it will be for movement of UN personnel, for civilians.
Air Vice Marshal Samson Oji indicated that all the logistics have been provided to make the mission successful.
Samuel Bano reporting.
The Customs Division of the Ghana Revenue Authority has adopted new strategies to educate would-be pilgrims to the Holy Land about customs prohibitions in Saudi Arabia. The officer in charge of Hajj operations, Walter Blankson, told Radio Ghana that as part of educating the pilgrims, leaflets on do's and don'ts regarding narcotics, medicines and other things have been distributed to the pilgrims. He spoke to Seth Aya.
Officers and men from Customs Division, what we do here is a normal customs duty. We see to it that with the outward, that is the export, they don't take things that are prohibited. We also look out for restricted items, and then we see to it that they don't go with drugs and narcotics. So we first of all check their luggage, and then we see that whatever they are going with conforms with the laws we have both in Ghana and in Saudi Arabia, so that it will not give Ghana a bad name outside.
And so far, what has been the trend?
Yeah, the trend over the years is almost the same, except that there have been improvements year by year. And this year, for instance, this is the maiden flight, but we have accepted a few medicaments that are not supposed to go, and we have returned them. Since they are not prohibited for use in Ghana, we are going to give them back to the owners or the travelers, their families, so that they can use. Examples are creams that they they bleach with, and then some medicaments without prescription, antibiotics and others.
The next 12 days, what is the overall expectations from the customs division of the DRA?
We expect them to obey whatever we say so that work will move on very fast. We have also put in place educating material by educating them to know whatever they have to do so that we don't have much of a problem.
Customs officer in charge of operations at the Hajj village, Walter Blankson, talking to Seth Aya.
The Ghana Conformity Assessment Program, GCAP, and its requirement of Certificate of Conformity, which is scheduled to be implemented by the Ghana Standards Authority from October 1 this year, has been suspended for further consultations. This was the outcome of a crunch meeting organized by the Ghana Standards Authority and the Parliamentary Select Committee on Trade and Industry to engage stakeholders in trade and industry in Ghana. We bring you a NewsDesk report.
The meeting was attended by the Ghana Union of Traders Association, Food and Beverages Association of Ghana, Spare Parts Dealers Association, Automobile Dealers Association, and the Ghana Electrical Dealers Association at Parliament House. President of the Ghana Union of Traders Association, George Ofori, who spoke to newsmen after the closed-door meeting, said the implementation of GCAP would be inimical to trade in the country. He said destination inspection companies such as Societe Generale Surveillance and other mandated bodies have replaced pre-shipping years ago, and therefore reintroducing pre-shipping inspection would duplicate the work of the existing system. He said there have been new tariffs that were introduced by the Food and Gas Authority that were granted by the Finance and Trade Select Committee of Parliament without consultation with the stakeholders. The GSA has been tasked to hold more consultations to ensure that the repercussions of the implementation of GCAP are not inimical to trade and industry.
A NewsDesk report.
The youth are the future leaders of every country. When then should the Ghanaian youth be roaming the streets in search of non-existent jobs? Why are the youth not venturing into entrepreneurship, setting up their own jobs to be masters of their own? These are questions a two-day leadership conference in Accra seeks to answer. Organized by Emerging Leaders Africa and NGO, it too used the platform to draw on the experiences of successful entrepreneurs, focusing on building the capacities of the youth and prepare them for the future. About 70 participants from all over the country are attending. Opening the conference, the CEO of Emerging Leaders Africa and Senior Pastor of Calvary Temple of International Central Gospel Church, Reverend Dr. Anthony Kujo, reiterated the need for the youth to take their rightful place in society by breaking new grounds.
If this present generation would take their time, because the whole world is moving at a very fast pace, but you need to see your strength before you run. Growth always has a way of making you adjust. The systems and people who are help you to adjust to cope with it. Money is not everything. Sometimes opportunity to work with somebody gives you a lot of experience that school will not teach you. But when you get that opportunity, the same experience one day begins to work for you. So at a point you may not even have been paid, but now you get a bigger reward. There are always job opportunities. Sometimes are we employable? Because if you know what you have, you don't even wait for someone to employ you. You create something for yourself. In your own small way, there are things you can do to earn a living. The generation that are coming should take advantage of the information that is available there, but seek to improve themselves and excel so that they can be global competitors.
That was the chief executive of Emerging Leaders Africa and NGO, Reverend Dr. Anthony Kujo, opening a two-day conference in Accra aimed at empowering the youth to be proactive and entrepreneurship-minded.
The CEO of the Ghana National Petroleum Corporation, Alex Mould, yesterday disclosed to the Commission of Inquiry into Ghana's poor show in Brazil 2014 that GNPC paid for friendly matches of the Black Stars as well as some qualifying bonuses. According to Mr. Mould, GNPC trusts the GFA's terms of contract between the two parties and will be surprised to know that the SA takes double payment for matches, since it was earlier disclosed at the Commission that the Minister of Youth and Sports paid some of the same bonuses to the FA.
Payment for the international match against Japan, although the match was, I think, 2013. Made the payment in 2014.
Was it in end of 2014, the game against Japan?
Yeah, we paid it, I think, February.
So they submitted the documentation?
Exactly. And that's what delayed our assessment, because we require, our auditors require talking to full documentation for the receipts, and sometimes they have to go back to the hotel and all the other logistics providers. Salary for the escrow system, funding of the Black Lives campaign, we advanced them $2 million and
campaign for what, the World Cup?
The World Cup. Just before they went for the World Cup, they had to have 2 or 3 friendly matches.
And you were funding $2 million?
Yes, that was for the match in Holland and another match.
In Korea.
In Korea. I think Montenegro as well. So that would have paid us for it, plus other expenses which they are to account for as well, like an accountable interest. So we're now sitting with them to sort out that and give them the funds, because this year's positive is $3 million, and they have some additional matches that they will be playing, like the one they went to Togo, they went to Guinea, they played in Kumasi, we take care of those matches as well. Specific payment for these games. It's the fact that yes, additional money from other sponsorships.
That was a representative of the GNPC, Alex Mould. Still at the commission sitting, a leader of one of the supporters' union, Abdul Aziz Haruna Futa, told the panel that he was satisfied with the facility provided for fans in Brazil by the Ministry of Youth and Sports. According to Aziz, even though he was not permanently staying at the camp village, he often visited his colleague supporters and realized the only problem at the camp was transportation from Natal town to the camp.
And so when I get there, when we went there, the log is finished, the writing is also finished. And I asked, what about the council, if you can tell the council?
What is council?
Bottom right, eh?
The bench side?
Yes. Alright, okay. Seven. No, but seriously, why would you have to go by foot? If you are lodging a hotel, why would you go by foot outside? The hotel only give us this far.
Okay.
They only give us this far. My lord.
And you got the council for $25?
Yes, $25. Money giving you by campaign or your own money? Second give me $100 as a pocket money. Today. My lord, before we get to that, I visited the committee based on the food because of what happened in South Africa in December. I told them that no, this food will create a problem. So why don't you do it like the way it happened in South Africa, the AFCON 2023? Give the food money to the supporters so everybody can go and buy his choice of food that he wants. So in fact, I met the minister at the hotel. I said that, honorable, for the food here, I think that the idea of the food is good.
Again, Haruna Futa told the commission that government should continue sponsoring supporters to tournaments. He also called on government to take a second look at the Accra Sports Stadium, which is fast becoming a death trap.
Francis reshuffled government headed by Prime Minister Manuel Rao. Yesterday won the confidence vote of the National Assembly. It announced a large majority of 289 seats needed to pass sensitive reforms. The new cabinet was approved with 269 ballots, but it was the poorest support in 28 years, with 244 lawmakers against the refreshed executive staff. In a sign of rising anger over the socialist economic and social roadmap and their slumping approval, the government lost 36 votes compared to April's confidence vote when the French premier and his staff won 304 votes.
Now to end the news, a look again at some of the headlines. U.S. President Barack Obama has announced new support to help combat the outbreak of the deadly Ebola in West Africa. He said the disease is spiraling out of control and poses a potential threat to global security. Government has dismissed minority claims that IMF bailout will lead to job cuts and increases in utility bills as government IMF holds crucial talks today. and the Trade Union Congress, TUC, has threatened to resist any IMF policy that will worsen the plight of the Ghanaian worker and any suggestions to cut down labor. It is therefore urging government to put its best foot forward during the negotiations and come out with a good policy. The news.